We are starting a new series today on love. We're going to be talking about loving God, loving your neighbor, loving your Christian brothers and sisters, and loving your family. And today we're talking about loving God. And just answer me here, what are some things that you love? Family, children, chocolate. Amen to that, yeah. God, friends, peace, spouses, brothers and sisters, pets, Seahawks, right? Broncos, oh. Your job, maybe? Well, in Scripture, we read a lot about love. And in the New Testament, there's two major words that are used for love. Phileo, which is more like the brotherly love, kind of the friendship love. It's the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia comes from that word. And then the other word that's used is agape. And agape is the love that's described as God having for his children. And you are one of God's children. Now, agape love is a volitional love as opposed to like an emotional love. It's self-sacrificial. It's naturally expressed by God and not so naturally expressed by us. It has compassion in it. It has regard for one another. It's kindness. It's unselfishness. It kind of transcends that natural affinity. It's a love that requires action, a love that is volitional. It's a choice love. And 1 John 5 says this about love. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commands. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So keeping God's commandments, keeping God's laws, keeping God's way of living for us, is a way that we demonstrate love for God and the way we demonstrate love for each other. So if you love someone, what do you do for them? What would you do for me if you love me? Chocolate. There you go. You'd give gifts, right? You would do something for the person. You'd be with the person. You'd spend time with the person. You maybe make sacrifices for the person. It's something that you do. Now, saying that you love God or saying that you love someone without any action behind it is just words. It doesn't mean anything. If you said to your spouse or to your friends or to your kids, I love you, and you said that to them every day, but then you never back that up with any actions, would you truly love that person? I don't think you would. Love requires actions. Saying the right words but no action is not love. That's just words. And we don't need more words in the world, do we? You can turn on any of the news channels and hear lots of words, but not see a lot of action. James says that faith without works is dead, because it takes action when you put that faith in Christ. It just saying that you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're a Christian. It's what you do. It's how you act, how you live your life. There has to be some action. There has to be movement. There has to be something flowing from that faith, flowing from that belief, flowing from that statement of faith. There has to be action to it. First John says this, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. And the idea of this action is not something that's new in the New Testament. It's also in the Old Testament. It says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, like we sang in that song earlier. We have to love God with our entire being, and we have to put actions to our belief, actions to our love, because actions speak louder than words. That's a cliche we hear all the time, but it's a cliche that's true. Actions speak louder than words. No matter what you say with your mouth, no matter what you say as loudly as you can, your actions are going to speak 10 times more, 100 times more, 1,000 times more than what you say with your mouth. Because without action, your words are meaningless. I want to show you a video of someone who put their actions in place.
Coach Peter Morales of the Coronado High School Thunderbirds in El Paso, Texas, makes no qualms about it. He has a favorite on this team.
Mitchell, I need you to help me out with my coaching tips, Mitchell.
Team manager Mitchell Marcus has a developmental disability.
1, 2, 3,
but he far surpasses everyone here when it comes to love of the game.
He's just an amazing person that our basketball team loves being around.
Mitchell's mom, Amy, says he's always been that way.
Mitchell always had a basketball. That was always what he wanted for his birthday.
And because basketball is that important to him, on the last game of the regular season, the coach told Mitchell to suit up.
What was it like to put on the uniform?
I was very happy.
I imagine you were.
Just wearing a jersey was enough for Mitchell. But what he didn't know, what no one knew at the time, was that the coach planned to play him at the end, no matter what the score.
You were prepared to lose that game?
For his moment, yes. For his moment in time, yes.
And so, with a minute and a half left, Coronado leading, but only by 10, Coach Morales put in his manager.
And just started hearing Mitchell, Mitchell.
But here's where the fairy tale fell apart. Although his teammates did everything they could to get Mitchell a basket, each time they passed him the ball, he either missed the shot or, like on their last possession, booted it out of bounds, turning the ball over to the other team with just seconds left.
He wasn't going to be able to score, but I was hoping that he was happy that he was just put in the game.
Could you have ever imagined what happened next?
No, I didn't. I could not. Not at all.
What happened next happened on the inbound. The guy with the ball there is a senior at Franklin High School, number 22, Jonathan Montañez.
I was raised to treat others how you want to be treated. Just thought Mitchell deserved his chance, deserved his opportunity.
I think I'll cry about it for the rest of my life.
What Jonathan did was yell out Mitchell's name, then threw the ball right to him, right there. One of the most memorable turnovers of all time. It wasn't the game-winning shot. When the buzzer sounded, Coronado had 15 more points than Franklin. But Jonathan's assist and Mitchell's basket did change the outcome decidedly. Play any game with this much sportsmanship, both teams win. Steve Hartman on the road in El Paso, Texas.
He grew up believing that you treat someone the way you want to be treated. And he did that in the middle of a game, in the middle of the competitiveness. And he still did that. He still did that for that boy. I want to tell you a story about a woman named Alice. And Alice got an entry-level position at a law firm. She was basically answering phones, filing paperwork. And she caught the attention of a young man by the name of John. And John and Alice hit it off, and eventually they started dating. Now, Alice was very upfront with John about her past. She was a recovering drug addict, and she at times had to sell herself to get her next fix. She was upfront with him, and he said, "What matters is who you are now, not what you've done in your past." And so they got married, and they had a child, and things were going great. Until they weren't. One day, John came home and found that Alice had left. No explanation, just gone. A couple weeks went by, hadn't heard anything from her, and he got a call from the police. And the police said that they found Alice in a drug house downtown, and she was hanging on after an overdose. John went to the hospital immediately and prayed for his wife. And his wife came through the coma, was restored back to health, and they had a serious conversation about what had taken place. And she repented from what she had done, and she went into a treatment center. John would go and visit her in this treatment center, and a few weeks later, he went to the treatment center, and something was missing with Alice. She was not herself. And she said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she said that the doctors had just told her that she is pregnant. A whole wave of emotions came over John at that moment. He didn't know how to feel or what to do. But he gave her a hug and said, I'm going to love you, and I love you, and I love the baby, no matter what happens. She just sobbed and fell into his loving arms. She was released from the treatment center. They had a baby boy, number two. Things were going great. They had another child. Three kids, all very young. And the tension started mounting again. Things got slow at work. Money got tight. And Alice started using again. One day she took the kids to the babysitter and disappeared. John never saw her again. Now that story is the story of Hosea in Scripture. Hosea was told by God to go and love a woman who was unlovable, to love a woman who is a temple prostitute, and to show her the kind of love that John showed for Alice, the unconditional accepting love of no matter what happens, I'm going to be here for you and I'm going to love you. And just as Alice disappointed John over and over again, Gomer, Homer's wife, Hosea's wife, over and over disappointed him. And at the end of the story, after three children and having one child who didn't know who the father was of the one child, of the middle child, and after the third child was weaned, she went right back to the temple, right back into the arms of these other men. And God describes that relationship as the relationship that Israel had with God and how we have a relationship with God like that. But in the story, we don't get to be John. We don't get to be Hosea. We're Gomer and we're Alice. God described Israel as having a spirit of prostitution that leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. And just as Alice and just as Gomer, we are unfaithful to our God. We are unfaithful to God in so many ways. Yet God is faithful. And God tells Hosea to continue to love Gomer, and he does. Because remember that true love is that choice. And it's a choice that God has made to love us in spite of our hang-ups, in spite of our drug addictions, in spite of our alcoholism, in spite of our hatred toward other people, in spite of any sin that we can commit. God is still faithful to us. And he makes that choice to love us. And we can make that choice to love other people in that same way. John kept hurting Alice in many ways. And Gomer kept hurting Hosea in many ways. But they still chose love. They still chose to love. And God still chooses to love us. And we're thankful for that, right? We're thankful that God loves us. And you say, well, I'm not doing all these terrible things. But are we living the way we're supposed to? Are we loving people the way we're supposed to be loving them? When we sin, we take ourselves, just like Alice did, back to the drug house. We take ourselves back into the arms of other gods, whatever those other gods and other idols are. And yet God still chooses to love us. He could have thrown in the towel. He could have said, enough, I'm done with you. But he still chooses to restore us back to himself. And you could say, well, there were children involved in that story with Alice and John. So you have to change how you would respond. But you know what? There's children involved in our lives too. There's children involved in your life. Whether or not you have your own kids or not, there's kids running around the church here that are looking up to you. And they're watching you and they're listening to how you speak and how you treat one another. We set examples for those kids that we come into contact with. And God doesn't smite us out of existence when we screw up. Because guys, we are going to screw up, right? Don't point. You know it's true. We're going to screw up. But God demonstrates his love for us by loving us and saying, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to you even when you're not faithful to me. God's grace is only shown in that. And in 1 John 4:9, it says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What was God's response to our sinfulness? What was God's response to our disobedience? What is God's response to our childlike selfish behavior? His response was to send his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. You ask Jesus, how much do you love me? How much do you love me, Jesus? And all you have to do is look at the cross. His arms are outstretched. I love you this much. As his hands are nailed to the tree. His hands are outstretched, showing you how much he loves you. If you don't know that love, if you don't know that God loves you no matter what your past, no matter what sins you've done in the past, no matter what sins you're going to do in the future, because you are going to keep sinning, no matter what, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Romans says this, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from that. You can go out here and commit the most awful sin you can imagine. And people have. We see it every day. People doing awful, awful things. But even in the midst of our sin, God still loves us. And God is still waiting for us when we turn and repent to him. He is there and he is faithful to be there when we turn to him. Adam and Eve sinned. And from that point, mankind, humankind, became separated from God. And God bridged that gap by sending Jesus to live a perfect life and to die as the perfect sacrifice. Jesus defeated death on that cross, and on the third day he was risen from the dead. And through that act of love, he paved the way for you to have eternal life. He paved the way for me to have eternal life. And even now it says in 1 John 1 that Jesus acts as our advocate in heaven. He pleads our case before the Father. Jesus knows you're going to sin. Jesus knows you're going to screw up. And maybe not just a little bit. Some of us may screw up quite a bit. But because God loves us, because Jesus loves us, just like John loved Alice, he's never going to give up on you. You may give up on yourself, but there's one person that's never going to give up on you, and that's Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And if you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that gift. I want you to know the freedom found in accepting that gift of salvation, in accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? God our Father, we are so blessed and so thankful for your love. God, I pray that as we sit in this room, that these words of Jesus loves me just don't fall on deaf ears, Lord. By the power of your Spirit, God, we just ask that you would help cement that truth in our hearts and in our minds, so that when we go from this place, we know that there is always someone in our corner There is always someone who loves us. There is always someone that cares for us. No matter what the world may say, God, we know that you and your Son Jesus are faithful to us. You have chosen to love us unconditionally, and we thank you for that love. We thank you for that support. And God, I pray that each person here today knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love them and that you want that personal relationship with them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.